Introducing the Heart Conviction Podcast with me as your host, Nina Palmer. Spirit-filled discussions, stories, and opinions from my time as a bondsman, pastor, and inmate on reality TV. Unapologetic conversations that will push boundaries, heal hearts, and hopefully add humor where it's been needed. We'll be facing hard truth topics with co-hosts and guests from the best to those society has outcast. Brace yourself because this isn't for the faint-hearted, but crafted to ignite, disrupt, and encourage. No topics too sacred, no heart too guarded. On church, relationships, society, pop culture, sexuality, our hearts, inner freedom, the fight between good and evil, travel, missions, incarceration, reform, love, hate, and the messy journey of pushing past spiritual comfort norms. It's hard being a human, and we're going to learn, grow, crack up, and hopefully renew our minds all at the same time. This might just make you question everything. Get ready for the unthinkable. This will not be your average podcast. Hard conversations start Monday, September 8th for the Heart Conviction Podcast, a Hopecast Network production.
Hey everybody, this is Ashley Arpel Steinbach, host of Locks of Laughs, Work Advice for Me, and of course, Movie Torture, aka I am the queen of the Hopecast Network. Or if you ask me, the queen bee. I hope you're all enjoying the amazing shows we have here on the Hopecast Network, and if you are, please don't forget to like and subscribe everywhere that you listen to or watch our podcasts.
This is the Hopecast Network. Stories and shows you actually want to listen to.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back or welcome to Locks of Laughs podcast. I am your host, Ashley Arpel Steinbach, and today we have a comedian on. I'm very excited. She is a veteran comedian. Her name is Ellie Rodriguez. You've probably seen her at the Improv in Miami or Fort Lauderdale. Did it just sound like I said Fart Lauderdale? Who am I asking? This is not live, but Fort Lauderdale. All right. Please like and subscribe anywhere you're listening to this podcast. And if you want to follow us on Instagram, our handle is at Locks of Laughs Podcast. Locks is L-O-X-X, like your ex-boyfriend. We hate him of Laughs Podcast. And if you want to follow me personally, my Instagram is at That's Ashley's Kitchen. Without further ado, Ellie Rodriguez. Ellie Rodriguez, I love your pose.
Are you not yet? Oh, we're live. Okay.
Yeah, no, we're live. We're live. Thank you for coming on Locks of Laughs.
My pleasure.
You made me. You just made me laugh with your little like pose. What's the
hot,
okay?
Right?
Now it's different. Now it's for everyone watching that, or for everyone listening that, and they're not watching. I urge you to watch this one because
seriously,
it's funny. Thank you for coming on Locks of Laughs. What are we noshing on?
So I want you to know that I came prepared today because I read your email right when we were setting up for today. You're like, here's the lowdown. So I came prepared for two things. One, to talk about food, and two, to not be a potty mouth, because we keep it classy on the Locks of Love, Locks of Laughs, Locks of Love. That's right. We keep it.
Yeah, right. Locks of Laughs. You know locks how many times hosts when I'm going up have introduced like a host of Locks of Love podcast or Lots of Love podcast. I'm like, laughs, locks, locks, laughs. I even write it down and sometimes they still get it wrong.
Because, you know, humans are special and comics are even more special people. So
that's but I can't accurate. Prepare. What are we noshing on? What do you got?
So here's the deal. So I technically already noshed. Like I noshed on the whole thing, but I had to
love that.
Save it. And let me preface this by saying that I am not being sponsored by this brand. But we gotta say that because it's like
I
give
love
us
that
some
you
money.
Have to like yeah, no, you do have to acknowledge it. You do. That's true.
100%. So here's the deal. I have just had the pleasure of eating. Well, first of all, I haven't been, but my husband came back from a business trip and he got to go to Buc-ee's for the first time. Have you ever been to Buc-ee's?
No, but I've heard of it. What is it?
I guess the way he described it was like a Winn-Dixie, Walmart-ish. It's, okay, listen, everyone is obsessed with the Buc-ee's beaver, all right?
I knew it was like a rodent or an animal that was like the mascot.
The mascot. Yeah, it's a rodent. So here's the deal. He went, and so people say, I'm going to tell you what it is.
Beaver nuggets.
Beaver, I keep calling them beaver nuts, by the way, but they're beaver nuggets.
It sounds so dirty, beaver nuggets.
I know. It's even dirtier when you call it the wrong thing. But yeah. Beaver nuggets. Now these, so he went, he was like, all right, let me go focus on what I should buy. Because apparently when you go there, it's like a very overwhelming experience with like lots of things. So he went like on a mission. What should I buy? Mm-hmm. Apparently TikTok was raving about the beaver nuggets. So they have like the original one, which I also have some left of those. This is the cinnamon sweet one.
Okay. What's the original one? Like so what flavors?
They're corn puffs. All right. So picture like, you know, the corn puffs cereal.
Yes.
Okay, so it's kind of like if you can like almost taste that in your, like if you can, so it's almost like that. The originals taste like that. Yum. These are also corn puffs, but they're covered in like a cinnamon spice caramel coating.
Oh my God, stop. What you're noshing on is so much better than me. Ugh.
But I already, well, like I said, they were noshed. I noshed on them.
Yeah, the bag is empty.
The bag is empty. I almost threw it out. And then I'm like, wait a minute. I'm going to mention these today.
Wait, I love that so much.
I'm starving, if you want to know right now, though. So
do you want to go get something to nosh on?
No, I don't have anything to nosh on. That's why I got this empty bag. No, because after this, we're going to go grocery shopping.
So I'm going to the grocery store after this, too.
Okay, so then later on tonight, I will say we'll be noshing on some homemade vaca frita that I'll be making.
What is that?
Vaca frita translates... It doesn't sound as appetizing when you translate it to English, but it literally stands for fried cow. So it's shredded. You're like, that sounds disgusting. So shredded beef, if you picture like shredded beef, right? Mm-hmm, so shredded beef, flank steak, shredded, right? And then it's called frita because you fry it. So first you cook the meat, but then you kind of like refry it with, and it's amazing. It's so flavorful.
Okay, it's so I expect an invitation over for dinner soon.
We'll have to bring some vaca frita.
And I'll bring something like generic. Like, I'll bring chocolate chip cookies or something. Like,
I'm like, don't be bringing no like salmon and lox. You gotta come with with the Cuban flair.
You wanna know what's so funny is that I don't even like lox. I don't put it on my bagel.
Salmon, right? Wait, lox is the salmon, right?
Okay. Yes. But and it usually people put it on top of cream cheese on a bagel. I don't even like lox.
No, I've had it. No. It's all right, but I don't like. I'm not a fan of the salty fishy on top of like a bagel. Like, but
I don't like fish and cream cheese together. I find it really weird. Like when I have sushi and I see that one of the or some of the rolls have cream cheese in it, I'm like, that is super duper. I don't appreciate it. It like freaks me out.
I can do a little cream cheese on the sushi.
I don't like it.
Hold on, I lost you. Hold on.
We lost a headphone.
There you
it's
are.
It's going back in.
There you are. You're back in my ear. Okay.
Sorry. Okay, good. So now that we can keep talking about food. But I want to talk about you more, actually, Ellie. I want to talk about how you got into comedy because you're so funny. I love doing your shows. Wait a minute. Is your Monday? I think I'm doing your Monday.
It's coming up. And full disclosure, I've been so freaking behind, and I know I keep talking about this contest that I'm gonna do.
Is it not happening?
I mean, it's gonna happen. I may just have to push it back one more month.
Wait, that works out so well for me. Actually,
you're like excellent.
Yeah. Wait, can you do that? Like, do you mind doing that?
I'm probably gonna have to. And honestly, even if I didn't, it would just mean that the next two shows would be for the contest anyway. I'll work something out.
Good, so because I don't know if I can come this Monday. By the way, by the time this airs, the contest would probably be like done, even if you pushed it to next month.
You're like, I would have already won and have been at the show.
I want to be a part of it so I can see if I have any ability to win. But enough about me. How did you get into comedy?
You're so sweet. Other than trauma, I...
Accurate.
I've always loved comedy. Like growing up, I always, you know, watching Def Jams was my jam. Mm.
Oh, okay.
Def Jams. HBO's Comic Relief, though, was my, before Def Jams.
Okay.
Are you familiar with HBO Comic Relief?
Yes, and I'm actually going to bring it up right now on my computer that I keep in my bag, meaning my phone.
Your phone. I was going to say your phone. So Comic Relief was my first real exposure to stand-up, and the fact that they were doing it for a good cause particularly to help the homeless population. That really resonated with me. Then I love Def Jams. So I was always in entertainment too, growing up. And in college, I hosted like big events for my sorority. So I've always loved.
You were in a sorority.
I'm a sorority girl.
Oh my God. I never would have guessed, honestly.
I cannot believe I haven't done a bit about this yet, but it's in the archives of like stuff to talk about.
Yeah, you have to, because I love it. I think that would go really well.
I know. Honestly. I don't give sorority girl, but I was such a, I was so hardcore. My nickname was Perfect Lil, L-I-L, Perfect Lil Angel.
Wait, what does that mean? Wait, why were you so perfect? Like, what did you do?
It was pure sarcasm. That was all.
Oh.
It was like, this girl's going to be a problem. So that was my nickname. I wasn't a problem. I was
no, of course. No, never you.
No. So actual stand-up and my first like stand-up experience was in 07. And okay. So a hot minute ago, I worked at a cruise line, and a buddy of mine, Neri Science, who's excellent comedian, tours all over. He's on ships. He's been on tour with Angela Johnson. He himself is a headliner and an absolute killer. He and I worked together at the cruise line. And I remember when he would do the new faces in Miami and would promote the shows. So fast forward a few years later, when I decided I wanted to give it a shot, I was like, where do I even start? And he's the one that I went to like, you know, Baby Bird, what do I do? You know what I mean? And
They were still doing the new faces thing at the improv back then.
What's incredible is how it's come full circle for me. Look at your baby in the background. My first stand-up show ever, my first set ever, was at a New Faces when the improv was in the Grove. And then now, almost 20 years later, I'm the showrunner for that Miami Improv New Faces show. So what's kind of cool is I get to see all the up-and-comers as a producer. It's nice because I'm like, oh, this person's good, and I have them on my shows. But also, I get to kind of do things a little differently than how it was done back then. I get to like, man, I wish that, you know, the person who used to run them back then would have done or said X, Y, Z. So I do my best to kind of like, you know, do a little bit more what I think would have been better or more helpful, let's say. Not that it wasn't great back then, but there's just little things that I'm like.
Totally. You know? I think you put your own flair on it. I think you're really good. I don't even know if the right term for comedy is showrunner.
I don't know if it, you know, it's funny. Producer. I use the same term. I use producer and showrunner, not always interchangeably, because like I'm not in charge of the new faces from start to finish. I don't like, there's an email, right? And Renee Hart runs the new faces for Dania and for Miami. So she'll get the emails. She'll vet through all the emails and coordinate the comics and get. So I'm basically just day of runner, right? I refer to myself as a showrunner for that particular show, or like if I'm helping somebody, but if it's my show from start to finish, then I would use the term producing.
Got it. Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And so that's how you find, you're like scouting, you're finding your talent.
Totally. I mean, and listen, I'll keep it 100. You know, we're not. Comedy doesn't have an HR department, right? Like, we don't have anybody.
Elaborate, that, yeah.
Yeah, like, we don't have anybody that governs or regulates who gets into comedy. We kind of, like, self-govern, and there's, like, these unspoken rules, right? There's traditions, there's things that we do and continue to do because we've learned from some of the greats and how they used to do it. But we evolve and on. But the whole HR thing, why I bring that up, to your point about scouting, it's like, it's amazing how people will come to shows, how people will be doing comedy for X number of time, and then they just assume that you owe them something. And it's like,
what does that mean?
Meaning like, oh, I've been to your shows and I've been doing this for a minute. Like, why haven't you booked me yet? It's like, I don't.
What? Someone you know said what that I mean? To you?
I've had people say that to me.
Was that the meaning of your cryptic post the other day?
I'm always doing cryptic posts.
I love can't. Everybody follow at Laugh with Ellie on Instagram, because it'll be like cute photos of her dogs, and then all of a sudden it's like, let me tell you something about like the craziest story. And I love it. And I live, I think I even messaged you. I was like, I live for when I see that you've posted a story because it's so entertaining.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. And you know what's funny is that the people who the messages are usually meant for never see them. So
that's like, that's so annoying.
Isn't that annoying? Like, I'll that's go through so my story annoying. Views and I'm like, why haven't they seen it yet?
Yeah, you go through everybody. You're like, God damn it.
Exactly.
Damn it. I do that too sometimes. I do that.
I will say this. I am a little bit calculated. I don't, when I write messages like that, and to be clear, for anybody listening to what Ashley means by cryptic is like, I'll literally put out some sort of like PSA, but don't necessarily name drop who or what, right?
Right. It's nothing like derogatory. It's more like, it was something like almost like a Facebook update. Like, I love when people contact me just to get on my show, and yet they never contact me to say hello or take me to coffee. It was around that type of thing, which I completely agree with, by the way, because you're right. Comedy really doesn't have an HR department, and people...
Nobody owes anybody anything. Nobody owes anybody anything.
Yes.
And some people come into this very entitled, very like... You know what I mean? And if you're a local producer and then people just assume that like, but I've been to your shows and I've supported you and I've...
But like, what does that have to do attending show? Like, yeah, I want to support people. I want to support my friends. I want to support people I find entertaining. But just because they're my friends and I find them entertaining doesn't mean that they have to be like, oh, let me put you in this because you showed up to this. I showed up to support you. I didn't show up to gain anything from that. And that's like, that's a transactional friendship. That's not a real friendship.
100%. And let's even take it a step further, because let's also just acknowledge that good business, one hand washes the other. There's networking. Like, it is good business.
But that's networking. That's different.
That's networking. And it is a good look if you want to, at the risk of sounding hypocritical, right? Because it's like, yes, there's a higher chance of you getting booked by someone who doesn't know you from Adam if you are showing up to their shows and introducing yourself. And then eventually maybe they see a set of yours, but like, don't go with that expectation.
Exactly. Or like they don't lead into it yourself. Let them come to you. Don't go to someone and say like, I've come to, oh, we've seen each other three times at your last three shows. What can you do for me? That's not good networking.
No, it's not.
Like, you make friends. Hopefully you can make friends, or even if you become acquaintances with someone. Like, I did a show here like a month ago, and a comic from that, like 3 weeks later or a month, whatever it was, because it was last week, so a month and a half, whatever it was, she asked me to open at Black Box. Two nights
in a row.
Oh,
that's where you were. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, and it was great, and it was amazing, awesome shows, and we followed each other on Instagram, like, we're DMing, like, nothing serious, like, oh, haha, funny story, nothing, like, we both saw each other's set, and that's how it worked. I wasn't like, hey, how are you, and she wasn't coming to me, like, hi, can I be on your podcast, you know, like, you can't, it's so, networking is different than... transactions. It's just, it is.
Yeah. And that's just it. I mean, I definitely do pay attention. I try my best to pay attention because sure. I am a producer. When I'm at these open mics, whether it's my own that I produce at 14 North Dania or at Vape Queen, right? Or if it's the one at the Miami Improv, especially now, the Miami Improv, something new that we're doing is, you know, we've had the same, like, we've kind of rotated the same hosts for a while. And these last few months, you know, we heard the comics were like, dude, can we, like, rotate the hosts? And, you know, and I respect that the actual producer, Renee, she was like, you know what? We are going to switch it up. Like, we're hearing too many people say that they want to see, like, a rotation of hosts. And she's right. It is what's fair. So now it also forces me a little bit more because I take that responsibility seriously. I'm like,
yeah,
let me pay more attention to when the comics are on stage, especially as I start to see that they're really strong from the get. And look, the last two new faces, that's exactly what we've done. The last couple of hosts have been a result of just a great performance after
Love
our
that.
Last new faces.
See, so, there you go. There you go.
So it does go a long way. I mean, I definitely, you know, do recommend that comics go to shows and support local productions. And even like earlier, I know you had asked me about Have Nots Comedy. Great shows. Yeah. Oh, gosh, they do great shows. And like anything else, it's great for you to go check one out, meet the producer. You may end up working with the producer on another show before that. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
But when you know that someone is producing shows and you want to see how you can get on, and it doesn't hurt to just go and support and show face, sure, and be like, yeah, hey, introduce yourself and then take it from there. You right. know, referrals, I think, are one thing about this industry is your reputation is everything. And it follows you. If it's good, it follows you. And yeah. if it's bad, it follows you even harder.
Yeah.
So I think just when you get referred by people, like even how I met you, like I met you through Simone, right?
Simone. Ugh, love Simone.
And just by Simone, because of my relationship with Simone, and mm-hmm. even though I don't know Simone that well, the little that I do know of her and professionally and the times that I've worked with her, I absolutely adore her. So mm. it's like, by default, any referrals from Simone are going to be that much more credible.
Totally.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Which is why I don't just refer anybody, because right. if I'm going to endorse somebody and it's, you know, and someone's going to go and someone's going to work with them because of my recommendation, mm-hmm. then I need to make sure that I feel good about it. Or I'm also transparent, like, look, Ashley, I'm referring this person, but here's right. my relationship with them. This is as much as I know them. You know
right.
what I mean?
Right. So like, just in case maybe they don't follow through or something, you're sort yeah, of off the hook.
Severed heads in their refrigerator and you didn't know about it. I'm like, well, I didn't know either. You know?
Well, I knew about it. I kept it a secret for them because I am a good friend.
That's the difference between
that you and is a joke, everybody.
Who's keeping severed heads in their refrigerator? Anyway.
A joke. No, I totally get it. And that actually goes back in with like the acting industry as well. It's you'll meet someone at a bar or at a shoot that isn't repped or something, or you might not be repped and you're asking, like, oh, can you refer me? You can't just refer anybody to the people that are representing you, you know? And when I was younger, when I say younger, I mean like when I was 16, I would ask people I didn't even know that I knew were repped, like, can I have a referral? Also, that was a long time ago. That was almost 20 years ago.
But you get 18
it. 18 years ago. But now, yeah. And now, I'm repped and right. I love my reps, shout out. But I've had people like that I've met once for an hour and they'd be like, oh, you're repped. I don't have representation. I would really love, could you refer me? And it's one of those things like, well, I don't know you.
Right.
And you also don't want to be that person like, yeah, send me your reel. Because like, yeah, you could send me your reel, but it's, if I don't know you, like, yeah, I'm sure you're very talented, but it is scary to put all your eggs in a basket, you know?
Totally.
But I always try to. I always will, like, text my agent or my manager and be like, hey, are you looking for new people just in case? I'll always try to help someone that's not repped because, like, I remember what it feels like and it sucks. So it is scary to put your neck on the line for someone you don't know, but, like... Totally. It sucks not being repped.
I'm not repped. Can you refer me?
Yeah, I'll refer you. I mean, do you want to go to LA? I'll refer you.
I can't leave. I can't leave this little
baby. What's his name?
Her name.
Oh my God, my bad.
Can't you tell she's a little lady?
She's a lady.
This is Lagunita, and she is named after when my husband and I used to drink. We're 5.5 years sober now.
Mazel tov.
Thank you. But we named her after our favorite beer, which was Lagunitas. Little something. So she's Lagunita, and then Nutella, who Nutella is our. We're ghetto here. We're just gonna move the camera.
I love it.
You see, she's just a little brown.
Yeah.
Hi, baby.
Cutie. She's how like, old is she?
My gosh, they are both 11 and 12 years old. So she's 11, and Nutella is 12. But she's still just because she doesn't have as much gray, like just a couple little scattered gray hairs.
Oh, she, we just heard the little.
Yeah.
So cute. That's
my baby. So she always looks like a puppy. Oh, she's sleepy. Let's get her.
Oh, she's sleepy. Let her sleep. How dare you? You disrupted her slumber.
So she's not ready to move to the West Coast. But speaking of representation, it's funny because my whole thing with representation is like, it always trips me out when comics who have been doing this for literally like 5 seconds or less than a year, don't have a following, barely have a 5-minute set, they're like, oh my God, I really need to get a manager. It's like, you need to get a set.
Well, yeah, I agree with that. And I'll tell you, I'm repped for acting because I was an actress before I got into comedy. So I am represented for acting. I agree with you. It is funny to see people come into comedy who don't have 5 minutes, let alone 20 minutes. And they're like, but you know, there is something to say about the excitement of your first time on stage. You're like, oh my God, I can't believe I did it. I love it so much. I just want to be back up there. Do you know what I mean? And you sort of like see lights, you know, you're like, I can see this. I can keep doing this. I could build this.
You got to have the vision. I don't knock the vision. I don't knock the ambition, the manifestation. Mm-hmm. It's just the reality of it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Now, all that being said, at the risk of like, I don't want to sound like a hater either, because hey, you know what? If you're someone that just started and you've barely got 5 minutes, you don't got 20, you've barely got five, but you're like about it. And if I get representation, I'm going to work hard and I'm going to do it. And it works out great. You know what I mean? That would be a total anomaly, but we're talking about what the norm is, right? Like what the standard, can it be done? Maybe. I mean, it's the same thing with like some of these content creators turned comics. You know what I mean? That they pursue comedy because they have a million followers, but they've always wanted to be comics or stand-up comics. And so they kind of did the reverse formula, right? Whereas as comics, the traditional format has always been like, we go, we perform, and we try to build our audiences by doing all these live events. And you hope that over time, enough people know who you are.
Right.
And social media has made it so that you can reach the masses in one shot.
Right. Yeah, it's so different. It's so different now.
But the formula doesn't always work, and we're always evolving. But the point is, you could have a million followers. You've never performed before, but you put your name on a ticket, and people who follow you are just dying to go see you live. So you can fill a room and have never set foot on a stage.
And then what do you think they do? Do they hire like ghostwriters or?
I've worked with plenty and I've worked with some that I can tell you continue to have incredible success stories.
That's amazing.
Pinky Patel, I'm going to use her. She's a beautiful human being. Absolutely adore her. Pinky Patel is a content creator from during the pandemic in 2020. And maybe you might be familiar with her if you've seen her stuff. She's an Indian woman.
I'm going to her Instagram right now.
She wears a little crown. She has a tiny little microphone, and her signature line is, hello, my friends. And she does a lot of stitch videos. She'll introduce a video and then give like her spin on it. She does her own funny, you know, videos being silly.
Okay.
But during the pandemic, she went viral and had 5 million followers on TikTok, which is nothing to scoff at. Okay.
Yeah.
Right? As it turns out, I love sharing her success story because she's someone who always loved comedy and stand-up. And so when she got this huge following, she actually started doing like live meet and greets, and she would get brand endorsements. So she got her experience doing these live like meet and greet events and was just very charming and personable and funny. And the manager at the Chicago Improv, which is where I believe she held one of these events.
Okay.
Saw her somewhere, but it was one of those two. But point is, it was the manager at the Chicago Improv that was like, you're hilarious. Like, have you ever thought of doing this, you know, doing stand-up? And she was like, And sure enough, she booked her first show, sold it out, absolutely crushed. And then from there, started a tour. So I opened for her when she started with clubs. I want to say the first time was in 2022. And I opened for her at the Dania Improv. We totally hit it off. And then I followed up with her a few months later to see if she needed, you know, someone on the road. She's the first person, I've been doing comedy since 07, and she's the first person that I've ever wanted to hit the road with, that I ever felt like I was finally ready, like just where I was at in my own life, traveling with a woman, like just the whole experience. I thought this could be fun. And she was incredible. She was like, oh my gosh, absolutely. And so thanks to Pinky, and she went from doing just clubs. The next year was doing theaters. And then now, depending on her markets, because that's how you discover, like, okay, where do I have, you know, my following?
Right.
So now in some cities, she'll still do theaters. In some, she'll still do, like, clubs.
Yeah.
She's gone to Europe or Canada. She's, like, she's crushing it.
You went on the road with her?
I went on the road. And, like, briefly, like, I've traveled, like, maybe 8 to 10 times with her, if that.
That's awesome, though.
I'm a homebody. So for me to travel is a lot, unless it's going to be like my own thing and lucrative, or like my pack and I can hit the road together. Mm-hmm. So I'm just really grateful that thanks to Pinky, I got to perform at the Gramercy Theater at NJ Pack, the Broward Center for the Performing Arts, or one of mm-hmm. these big theaters down here. But yeah, she's one who has continued to work her butt off and has a great success story. Locally, there's content creators like El Caballo, who I'm going to be performing with this Saturday, or a few Saturdays ago, depending on when this airs. It's not going to be in the past by the time I talk about this. But he's someone who, he started off as a content creator, and then several years ago, he dipped his toes in stand-up, and now he absolutely crushes it. And he doesn't perform like how we do, where we'll hit mics traditionally, because he's constantly curating content online. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what I mean? So there's something to be said about that too. There's some people that really could just bring it on the stage, and they don't necessarily hit mics all the time. And there's a lot of comics who hate on that. It's like,
yeah, I will say, so there is something to be said about people that just have genuine stage presence. Like sometimes, like it's those people that stand out on reality shows. You're like, then they go on tour just speaking, and you're, but it's funny, but you wouldn't call it necessarily like stand up, but it's some people just have incredible stage presence, and you yeah. want to see them. The mic thing, I was recently talking to someone, and it was at like the Sad Man open mic that I've done it twice.
In Boca.
I do open mics to test new jokes and new material. And I was saying that to this person. This person goes, well, I do this mic every Tuesday, and the mic on Monday nights at, I think it was the Peach or Peach Pit or something. It's like, I do that every Monday. And then Wednesday, and he listed every single mic. And I was like, well, that's amazing. Like that's so cool for you. But are you doing the same jokes every single time? Are you doing it? Are you getting booked and for any shows? And he said, sometimes I switch up the jokes, but I haven't really done many shows. I was like, okay, but you're doing the same mics Monday to Friday or Monday to Thursday, whatever it is. You're doing the exact same ones with most of the same material once a week. So I hear what you're saying. It's like sometimes, yeah, people will hate on the ones that maybe don't do mics as often. Like me, I admit I don't do mics that often. And when I do mics, it's to work on material or to rework material that I've brought and exactly. didn't hit. And I'm right. like, all right, I have got to work on this. Like, maybe that punchline is off. Maybe it's just not a funny joke at all. And I have to either rewrite it or completely axe it. But yeah. that's why I do open mics, totally. You know? And so I guess I'm one of those people. But it just...
Everybody's on their own journey. You know right. what I mean? Like, uh-huh. everybody's on their own journey. I don't think that there is, like, an exact template or blueprint that we can all follow that's going to work for everyone. You know yeah. what I mean?
I mean, there's not. It's comedy. It's entertainment. There's, like you said, there's no HR department. There's no like statistic, you know? It's not like you start in the mail room and then you work your way up. You're an assistant. You know, it doesn't work that way.
I would say the closest mm-hmm. we have to that, to your point, for some comparison's sake, especially for, like, I feel like folks who aren't in comedy and don't understand how it works, this is good information for them too, right? To kind of understand the different mm-hmm. levels. Are you okay? Yeah. Are you just like covered?
I have an itch. I think I have like a string of hair that's coming like from my right bangs now? Or something. Like, and I keep like itching my chin, sure, and it's okay. like there's something in my lip, but I think I got it. I think in that moment, I got it, because I don't okay. feel it anymore.
Okay.
Keep going.
Because let me tell you, girl, those are some glossy lips. And if something gets stuck on those bad boys, I can
Thank
see.
Thank you. Okay. Yes, right? Yeah, it's very noticeable. Yeah, they're all lined and painted and everything to make them look like big, big, big zhuzh.
They look amazing. You look amazing.
Thank you. Keep going.
So the closest I think that we have to that, as far as like levels, like you were saying, is starting at open mics, mm-hmm. right? Then maybe getting, and as we start talking about pro shows, there's also different levels of right. booked or pro shows, right?
Right, yes.
Paid versus free, clubs, open, a club show where it's a local producer versus a weekend at a club or even a one-nighter, but it's a headliner
mm-hmm. right.
who's booked, and then the club themselves or the headliner themselves is like, hey, I would like for you to be my opener. And then as an opener, there's levels, right? Where you've got hosts, mm-hmm. you've got features. Mm-hmm. And then obviously the ultimate spot being the headliner, right?
Right.
But even, and I would say that, you know, hosting is probably, to me, hosting and headlining have equal importance. Now, granted, I feel like you could not be the best host, and if you're an incredible headliner, it'll still be a great show.
Yeah.
Right? Because by the time it gets to the headliner, and if it's somebody that, like, is a killer and everybody came to see, no one's going to remember or care about the openers anyway. They're like, we came to see this person.
Yeah, that's true. Right? Yeah.
But a good host, especially in a show where it's a showcase or on a show where maybe it's not as seasoned of a headliner and you kind of need that strong open and that strong close, a good host goes a long way, is my point.
I agree. I actually find that hosting versus headlining can, hosting can be more difficult because a headliner, like, okay, you're doing 45 minutes, doing an hour, you know it. And yeah, you'll converse with the audience, you'll do some stuff, but like, you know your stuff, you know your jokes, you wrote them. A host knows their jokes, but you have to do it in, maybe you get 10 minutes at the beginning and then you have maybe 60 seconds in between. Are you going to do a callback? Are you going to do something specific to the comic? And I'll also say, hosts, there is such a significant difference between a bad host and a good host, because I have done, but I mean, sometimes you'd be like, ah, host is a host, whatever. I have done so many shows where the hosts have gotten the names of the comics wrong. And when I say names, I mean, I was introduced as like Alice April and my name is Ashley Arpell. The getting my podcast name incorrect, that's happened yeah. more times than not. And it's just so, especially when they have it right in front of them. And I've also, I did a show, this was a couple years ago when I first got into comedy. The host was mean to the comics. So she would say like nasty jokes and make fun of the comics coming up. But every single one. And I told myself, I will never, when I put on shows or when I do another show, I'll never work with her again. And I, at one point there was an opportunity to have her be a host. I said, no, I don't want her to do it.
And that's what I mean by us self-governing, right? By not having an HR department. There's no one that we can go and complain to and be like, hey, so it's just like, okay, I see you and I'm just going to clock that and not right. F with you in the future. And that's it.
Right. Because it's also one of those things, like when you're intentionally mean, like I know comics that like will make a joke on stage because it just comes to them and then they'll come out, they'll be like, I'm really sorry, that wasn't fair. And I'd be like, okay, well, yeah, you apologize. Okay, fine. Like sometimes you say things, like I do that all the time too. Not a big deal. But when you're intentionally mean and you're going out, like she was like sitting there like, what can I say? What can I say about this person? I'm like, why are you blacklisting yourself?
Right. And it wasn't a roast. It was just like, that's how she hosts.
It was just, I was so new to comedy. What did I know? I didn't know that sucked. That was really sad. But it was a good show for me. I made a lot of good friends, a lot of good connections. And she was not one of them. So
there you go.
Mm-hmm. And I got great content from that show too. If you could, you could probably like scroll down 2 years ago. And I think I posted part of
the show that
like,
it was at.
Yeah, I think I did actually. I'm going to go back and look. But it is comedy. The host, I think that's, it's a huge deal to be the host in a show. And I'll say this, a lot of open mic hosts will not take it seriously.
And listen, that's one thing about me as a, you know, as a veteran in comedy, but also like in our particular scene, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I really do try my best to like share as much knowledge as possible. And I ultimately try to lead by example as much as I can. You know what I mean? So it's also like, I may not necessarily tell you things, but if you're trying to learn, the best thing you could do is watch and pay attention to the people who you respect and what they're doing. Now, if I'm not someone who the person respects or likes what they're doing, then cool. They may not want to emulate anything that I do. Mm-hmm. And that's okay too. You know what I mean? But it always trips me out when someone tells me that they respect me or they value what I do so much. And then they do like the complete opposite of what I do. I'm like,
right.
Okay. Not that they have to do it the same way, but I'm always like, I hope, but then they'll still come to me or like they'll come to me for advice.
Yeah.
Right. And guidance. And then they go and they do the complete opposite, which again, that's fine.
Right.
But you're not going to waste my time like that again.
Right. Like, do they ask you for your advice and opinion and then they do the opposite? And then do they come back and say, well, that didn't work?
No, these are usually just like narcissistic people who are just wasting your time anyway.
Ooh, you know what I mean? What really gets
me, oh my God, what really grinds my freaking gears too,
tell me,
is a new comic who will ask for some sort of advice, or they'll be like, let's say I'm in a group setting, which just happens to me a lot. And I'm not going to name drop the comic, but there's like two or three just top of mind that I can think of that do this. And it like annoys me to no end. Okay. To the point where like, if I'm having a conversation with other comics and I see them start to come in and they're going to join, I will start to wrap up and get out. Because I'm
what
like,
do they
I'm
do?
Not.
What do
so
they?
So if I'm in the middle of a conversation with like a comic or a couple of comics who are newer, or they're asking me for advice, or I'm putting them down with game, and then this comic who has been doing it for like 5 minutes, in a lot of cases, even less time than the people that I'm talking to, and then they want to come in and like piggyback off of what I'm saying or chime in and interrupt with their advice.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew you. Oh, I
now,
hate that.
Let me preface this too by saying that there is a different. I am a firm believer that we can all learn from each other. So by yeah. no means is this a, hey, I'm the veteran, you need to shut up and listen. No, that's not. But there's a time and a place to chime in.
Right.
And there's a time right. and a place to shut the and then listen. And
yeah.
If I'm in a room with people who are more successful than me or are further ahead in the career that I want that I'm pursuing, or like mm-hmm. they're at a level that I care to be at, I am going to be quiet and listen when they are talking and,
right,
and spitting.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I want to learn from them.
I want
right.
to learn. So I'll ask questions if I'm gonna open my mouth. Mm-hmm. But rarely will I, unless I'm asked, if they're in the middle of like, again, that's also like a sign of respect. You know what I mean? Like,
yes, it's the respect thing, because I hate when a comic will come up to me after a set and be like, that was really great. You really need to expand on that joke and bring it further. It's like, how are you are you a joke writer and you want me to hire you? Because I didn't ask for your opinion. Now, right. if I went to a writer's room and I said like, hey guys, I really need help with this, which by the way, I don't love writer's rooms. Like I'll be honest. I did one by accident because I went to a mic that I found in Fort Lauderdale, and I wanted to try something before. I wanted to try the song, the diarrhea song, before your Dania
before
mic,
the, Dania show.
The show, okay. And I didn't end up doing it there. So I went to your show and I was like, well, here goes nothing. I'm going to sing about diarrhea. And it
was
went
great, yeah.
really well. Yeah, I loved yeah. it. But so no one came to the mic and I was like, okay, well, can we all just still get up and perform for each other? Because like...
We're here.
Why not? Like, it's yeah, a mic. Yeah. It doesn't matter. Yeah. And he said, well, why don't we turn it into a writer's room? So we all go around like reading our jokes, but like reading your joke out of a notebook is not like, it was horrible. And then I was like, okay, well, I guess I'll sing a little bit of my song, but like without the inflection, like being on yeah. stage, like taking, like it didn't work. And they were like, oh, you know what? We just don't like parody songs. So it sounded good, but like, I don't really like parody songs. And I was like, okay, well, I wanted to do a real show and you couldn't get people here. So like,
well, you're stupid.
No, but like it was one of those things where I was like, I really dislike, because it also, you were then writing jokes for other people because they would say like, what's the next one? What's the punchline? I'm like,
yeah.
Well, it's your joke. You should have a punchline.
Right.
It's one thing to be like, hey, does that work? Does anyone have ideas? But these people, not these people, a person. Said, but then I, and looked around the room for the punchline from us. And I was like, why? It's why am I writing your joke?
Right. Right. There's a difference between like giving additional tags and like helping the person continue on the path that they're going, but you're like, you don't even know what path you're going yet. Like, I'm not creating that for you. That's your job.
Right.
I am not a fan of writers. Words are hard. I am not a fan. I don't know what I just said there. I'm not a fan of writers' rooms. Mm-hmm. I've had a handful of experiences where I've done like some collaborative writing that's been really fun.
But that's different. I write with friends, not write with friends. I'm writing a script with a friend. That's film, or TV movie, or, you know, Tubi at this point, but like, which by the way, would still be a blessing. I don't really care.
Yeah, whatever
picks it up. But there's a difference between collaborative writing and writing together and then going to a writer's room with people you don't know.
Yes.
Unintentionally. And like, I also didn't want to be rude. So I was like, okay, well, I'll sit through this. But I wish I had left and tried to find somewhere else to perform. It worked out. It was fine. I was just like, that's a bummer.
Listen, as long as we get something from every experience, and sometimes what we get from the experience is something that we never want to experience again.
Again.
And that in itself is like, cool, did that. Never need to do it again. Mm-hmm. Now I know what it's like.
Yeah.
I will say that like my vape shop show, which I can't wait for you to do it.
I'm so excited.
It's so fun. Honestly, like why I love this room so much is because it is my workout room. It is my gym. And mind you, every show, whether it's the first Wednesday, which is the open mic, or all the other Wednesdays that are booked, that to me, every week for me is an open mic in a room in my head, right?
Yeah.
So when I don't bring something new to my own show, I'm riddled with guilt. So I really try to like use that.
So you do a new set every single week at your vape show?
I try to. And it's not even that I do a brand new set. Like, mm-hmm. I'll riff. If I don't have, like, something specific that I'm working on, it's a lot of crowd work, which I love to do. And then I just kind of focus on the rest of the comics. And I don't do as much time. A lot of times, even going back to doing the same jokes, I'll do the same joke if it's because I'm working it. So I've got
new tags. That's exactly what I was saying about mics.
There's a difference, right? Where you're working the joke versus just the same joke, same way, every single time. You're like, dude, if you're doing the same joke at a mic, you should, like, I understand if you're just, okay, I'm going to try it one more time to see if this is it. But it's like, if you're not fine tuning it, punching it up, you know what I mean? Changing a word here and there to see how to make it better, then you're doing yourself a disservice going to these mics.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But I do try. Now, we're going 5 months strong for these weekly shows. Really intimate. It's out of vape shops, Vape Queen and Davey. We're allowed to smoke in there. So that's what's kind of cool, because when we promote it, we're like, we can consume. So it's a different audience. It's not the same as performing at a bar or a club. But what's nice is that everybody who's there is there for the show. So whether we're...
See, that's whether it's my...
15 people, 30 people... and that's what's nice. Even with 15 people, it feels, because it's so intimate. And there's been maybe two times, I'll say three max, but maybe two or three times where it has been all comics. And maybe like one civilian. I also, you know, the staff who works there, they're awesome. Like the owners, the staff, they sit and they watch. So like, I consider them regular audience members. But if we're going to talk about like outsiders that came in and got a ticket.
Right.
There's been a handful of times or less where it's just been comics.
Yeah.
And it's become an organic writer's room. It's not even so much that we do a writer's room. It's like we're performing for each other.
Right.
None of this looking through a notebook.
We just
put on the performance and then we'll interrupt each other sometimes. And something's really funny, we interact. And then we're like, wait. But we're still, for the most part, just like going through our stuff and trying to like hear ourselves say the jokes.
I'm so excited for your Vape Queen show that I'm in. I can't wait. But so you just touched on something that I now have a question.
Okay.
But I just forgot it. Dang it. Oh my God. No way. What did you just say that I had a question? It was so important to me and now I completely forgot it. Keep talking.
I said that the staff sits and watches and supports.
No. Oh, yes, here it is. Okay, so as a veteran, what are your thoughts on when comics bring a notebook or a phone up on stage, or just a form of something that they're reading from to either remember the beginning of a joke or to maybe remember how their set goes if they haven't fully memorized it? As a veteran of comedy, what are your thoughts on that?
I don't give a shit.
You don't care at all as long as they hit the punchline and they're funny.
I've seen pro headliners who have been in the game for 30 years sell out arenas, do shows with a notebook on stage to say, we're going to work on this new shit together. And it's almost like they almost get a pass more than those of us that are just starting. But honestly, I don't care. Now, do I think that there is a level of professionalism demonstrated when you don't have any notes with you? Sure. I think that I forgot what comic. Oh my gosh, I can't think of his name right now. But there is a comic who almost made like bringing his notebook with him on stage part of his whole shtick.
Ooh.
I can't think of the comic right now. I think it's somebody that's like well-known, not like a okay. local. But the point is, I also feel like that. Like, if you're bringing your notebook with you and you're making a part of the
yeah.
bit, I have this little, I don't have it with me. I have this little black notebook of jokes and on the front it says, ha, 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 right?
Yeah.
So, like, even at Vape Queen, when I wanted to work on new stuff, I'm like, all right, let's see what our little magic book of jokes has, right? Right. And I'll be like, what does it say right here? And the person's like, ha, ha, ha. I'm like, exactly. They're going to be hilarious. So I almost, and just right. being no, silly yeah. with it, you know?
It's a prop. It's a prop.
Thank you. Exactly. I almost use it as a prop. So, but even if you don't use it as a prop, even if it's just there or you grab your phone and you take a peek.
Yeah, because when there isn't like a DJ or whatever, you know, when I do my musical stuff and have to play a backing track and I bring my iPad on stage, the first time I did it, I brought it on stage. It might have been.
You brought your iPad on my
yeah,
show.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. And I still do it now when there's no ability, there's no like speaker to play my backing yeah. tracks.
Right.
But I was so nervous to bring it on stage because I was like, are people going to think it's not professional? But then I realized, like, first of all, one, why does it matter what people think? And two, I want them to think the song is funny. So right. I am using a backing track because I think it makes it even more funny than the lyrics I add. But I once spoke to someone who said they hate when comics bring items on stage. And I was like, are you going to hate when I break out into song? Because that's so different.
I will say, though, like, if you're booked, let's say, like, at a pro show, like at an improv or even like at a theater, mm-hmm. I will say that it's a better look. Unless yeah. you're the headliner I do think that as a professional being the opener, we yeah. shouldn't have it, but I wouldn't necessarily completely rule that out. That might be a conversation to have with, I've never done that at a pro show. So it's like,
right. I've never brought my phone or like anything on stage with me. I have I come from an acting background, so I memorize my jokes and then I interact with the audience. So sometimes yeah. like the punchline or the buildup might change because I'm speaking with the audience and like we're on the roller coaster together. But I've never brought like, I agree with you. I think there is a difference in the visual professionalism, not so much the act of it.
Exactly. And it's also how you, because even going back to you bringing your iPad on stage, if right. it's something that you're thinking about and you want to address it, you can very like, by the time you do your song, and you're about to press play, you're like, hi, guys, I bet you guys thought I was cheating and using my notes. Huh? You can say something silly like that.
Ooh, maybe I will next time.
You know what I mean? And you can address it just to have a little fun with it. Not that yeah. you have to, but again, but if it's something that's crossed your mind and mm-hmm. you kind of just want to make it a point to let people know, like, by the way,
yeah,
this isn't my jokes. These are, why mm-hmm. not? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So all that to say that I don't really think that there's like a definitive rule, but I will say that if we are in a pro show, like at the improv, you shake it back there, baby. Pup.
Yeah,
that's right.
My dog. But yeah, what you were saying, a pro show at the, I agree. I think were you going to say that you don't want people bringing notebooks up at the improv?
I mean, my shows personally, I don't care. I'm talking about when I'm booked opening for a headliner. And even yeah. now in hindsight, as I'm thinking about it, I'm like, have I ever I'm sure I have pulled up my phone, but again, I've been funny about it. Like, oh shit, I smoked too much and I forgot my joke. So like,
right. I'm talking like when people get on stage and they're like, what to talk about?
But look,
that's also something I don't like. When you get on stage and you're, I once did a show at Flappers in LA and this comic went up. I don't know if he was before or after. I think he was after me. I don't remember. I truly don't. I think he was after me. So I was watching. Yeah, because I sat back down. He was after me. And he gets up. He goes, I didn't really prepare anything, so I thought I would just talk to you guys. And okay, that's good and fine if you are good with crowd work.
Right.
But he just spoke. And then someone in the, he asked like someone where they were from and they were from the town over and they just had their own private conversation. That was his entire 5 minutes. There wasn't a punchline. There weren't jokes. There wasn't funny conversation. And I just felt like that was so disrespectful. It was disrespectful to Flappers. It was disrespectful to the other comics, to the audience that paid tickets to be there.
Right.
I was like, I cannot believe you did that. And it wasn't like he was Matt Rife, who is hilarious and can communicate with anybody in an audience and make it funny. Not to say that this person isn't funny in himself. I'm sure maybe in his everyday life he might be. But in that moment, he just said, I didn't prepare anything. This is a big show. I didn't prepare. And I'm going to talk. And he just,
and here's what you get.
I didn't like that. It was almost like he was self-sabotaging.
And you brought up something else that's really important too, a paid show. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And granted, you may not buy tickets to a show, but spend money at a bar, right, buying food or drinks, mm-hmm. but it's a free show. There is something to be said, though, if the customer paid money to go see a comedy show.
Yes.
Right? Like, mm-hmm. there is a certain level of professionalism that I do think we need to bring, and we do need to, at that point, take the audience a little bit more into consideration. Like, when I do a free show, and I'll joke about that too, I'm like, it's a free show, y'all didn't pay shit, like, let's lower that bar. You know what I mean? Like, this is what you get free. So you can joke about that, but yeah, if it's a paid gig, if the audience is paying for tickets, then we have a responsibility to like, now to your point, unless that comic, maybe that comic was having a bad day. Maybe they go and they riff like that all the time. And sometimes they kill it and other times they don't. You know what I mean? Matt Rife, a comic like Matt, like Nate Jackson, I mean, they're known for crowd work. So there's no comparison either.
Right. You know what I mean? Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I didn't know the guy personally. I think we met once. Here's the thing. We did a show together before that, like a couple months before, and he had a full set. And then he just showed up for this. I honestly think it was self-sabotage. I really do. Like, I think he was going through something, and it made me sad, but I was also like, man, like, come on.
That could happen too. Yeah.
Ellie, it has been almost an hour.
I know.
Can we get coffee? Because, like, I could literally just talk to you for, like...
We could absolutely need to get coffee. And maybe the next time that, if my husband goes back to... the closest one that we have is in Daytona. So, but we got to go get some beaver nuggets for those of you who missed it up
I'll
at the
go.
Top of the hour. Beaver, not beaver nuts, beaver nuggets.
What is next for you? Tell everybody what's next for you, where they can find you, what's going on.
So hopefully I'll have another improv date soon, but I'm always at Vape Queen every Wednesday. You can find me every Wednesday at Vape Queen in Davie. Even if I just pop in and do a few minutes, I'm usually there every show. Mm-hmm. The only times I'm not there is when I have to run the show in Miami. Like the next one, it's in September. I'll be in Miami and I'll have someone running the show for me. But Vape Queen every Wednesday, the first Monday of every month at 14 North Dania. But I'm especially excited about a new room that I started in Hialeah.
Ooh.
Gotta get you on that one. This one just started. So we're shooting for monthly right now. The next one, we're going on our second date. Actually, just went live like half an hour before our episode we recorded today. It's called Tremendo Tuesday, which translates to Tremendous Tuesday. So Tremendo Tuesdays. I know. I'm all about alliteration.
Tremendo Tuesday.
Tremendo Tuesday. And actually, there's a little Easter egg in the Tremendo. I hit a 305 in there, baby. What's up?
Oh, look at you. Who are you?
You see the cafecito? We're always repping, baby.
I love it.
It's at Boss Thapa's Burger and Brew. Delicious.
Wait, I saw the flyer. I saw it. I love it.
Yeah, we just had our first one about a week ago. Thank you. And yeah, it was a hit. So we're gonna try it again. And then I hope to have some other productions. It's by the time that this airs, it will have passed, but I'll still give it a shout out because two incredible shows that I'm coming up on. August 30th on Saturday, I'm with El Caballo. And then Sunday, Brittany Brave, who love and adore, one of my best friends, she hosts the Bad Bitch Brunch. And even though you might not get to make it for this one on Sunday at the Miami Improv, follow Brittany Brave because she does these all over. And actually at the New York Comedy Festival, she's going to have one. So I'm always shouting out my people.
I love it so much. Thank you. And everyone go follow Ellie at Laugh with Ellie. You will laugh because her posts both on the grid and her stories are hilarious. So please follow. Thank you for coming on the pod, Ellie. This has been so fun.
Thank you for having me. Absolutely. Hold on. Let me get... Nutella's still sleeping, but let's get... Lagunita.
My animals are just asleep behind me. Bye, baby.
Aww. Oh, wait. Hold on. She wants to say bye, too. Hold on. She's looking now. She's like, what's up? Say bye.
Bye, baby. Oh, my God. Look at that face. Cutie patootie. Bye, everybody. Okay, we're...